was different about the Packers offense when Wallace played quarterback as opposed to when Rodgers was playing quarterback?
I think the first thing that jumped out at me was they put a fullback in the game. You know, with Aaron Rodgers, it's really three wides and one back. And then you, I don't know if it was the plan against Chicago or not, but when Seneca went in, there was more of a two-back run feel to it. Still running the same offense. It's a high-efficiency offense. And I know Seneca from being in Cleveland last year. He was with us the last 2 years, and then I was in that division and coached against him. And he's a Coach Holmgren-raised West Coast offense, so is Mike McCarthy. So it's a high-efficiency offense that's really built to, for the quarterback to quickly distribute the ball. And they didn't come too far off of that, and I think they'll stay with that type of plan with Seneca.
You had success on third down, only 2.5 yards per attempt. What did the Bears do to try to take that away?
I think their four-man pass rush got after them. It really did. They didn't pressure a whole lot. They pressured some, but their four-man rush with Peppers and those big guys, I think, put a little pressure on Seneca, and it kind of is what they benefited in third down with, from what I saw.
Now, the players off day here, you guys do more game planning on Monday than most teams typically do.
Mm-hmm.
How much does your game plan need to change now based on the uncertainty at quarterback?
Well, it doesn't seem like there's much uncertainty. It's kind of looking like right now that Aaron won't be playing, and we'll probably get Seneca or whoever else they choose to sign. So right now you always have a plan of their passing attack, and you don't know what's coming at you. It could be three wides the whole game like they do more with Aaron. It could be more fullback like they did a little bit last night. You prepare for all of it, but you major in certain different things. So we would have majored probably in one plan with Aaron Rodgers, and now we'll adjust and see how they plan to do it. You don't know what's coming at you other than the base offense, and then whatever they feel Seneca does the best, as long with their other weapons. And they've got to share their share of weapons. Running backs are really playing well. You know, they get James back. They've got Jordy Nelson, who's playing outstanding. So there's a lot of weapons on the field for them, and the quarterback they put in there will distribute to the weapons, and that's what we have to defend.
Eddie Lacy, do you expect now that they're going with Seneca for them to rely maybe more heavily? He's already gotten a big workload, but do you expect to shift that way?
Well, I don't know if it's because Seneca will be playing or that's what they've been doing as of late, is shifting to the big running back, because these running backs are playing real well. They're downhill, run you over, angry downhill runners, and they're getting a lot of production out of them. So we've got our hands full to stop their run game along with this high-efficiency passing game that they've always had.
Bill Starks was the guy who wrecked the Eagles in the playoffs in 2010. Was he an underrated back?
I believe so. You know, I think they've got when they commit to the run like they have lately, they've got a solid offensive line, and they run behind their pads well as running backs, and it's a downhill, get what's there type smash mouth running game that you haven't seen in Green Bay for years, but, you know, it's there now.
Bill, you well. It looked like Logan played the majority of the nose tackle snaps in the base. How'd you feel he did after watching?
I thought both Damon and Benny did a nice job. They really did.
Did they split it?
There was a rotation going on. Everybody on our defense played in that game. And early on, we'll always have a rotation. We played 95 snaps in that game, so that's a lot of defensive snaps. So everybody plays, everybody rotates. We start a very early rotation to make sure everybody stays fresh throughout the game. And I thought both of the young guys did a great job of just kind of staying in their technique and taking care of their little things, and they played well because of it.
Bill, you're on a pace for, right now, 1,200 plays maybe as far as your defense being on the field. I know you rotate up front, but your inside backers pretty much are on the field every down. You knew going in that this was the way it was going to be because of the offensive scheme. I mean, do you have any concerns about their ability to hold up for a season?
I do, with all of them. And I've got to get a better rotation going right now with the inside backers like you talk about. We've got to give everybody relieved. Nobody wants to play 95 or 90 snaps, and it won't be every game like that. But like we knew from the get-go, this offense is, we always talk about three and out or three and in. And the other night they were three and in, and it was a lot of turnover, and, you know, they really caught fire, and we went out there, and, you know, that's part of who we've talked about being from day one anyway, and that's why we rotate like we do, and I do have to continue to find unique ways to without missing a beat, roll those guys.
So when you look at stats at the end of the game, you see the yards, you see total plays, but then you also see the defense play well. How do you grade it?
Well, thank God it's a scoreboard, not a yardage board after the Raiders game, because they really had a lot of yards. I was actually a little bit shocked when I actually saw the yards that they got, because it felt, I know that their designed runs, our guys did a great job of stopping the designed runs. It was the breakaway runs or the 2-minute runs that really hurt us in that game. It's where the rushing, you know, other than a quarterback getting his, the running backs got theirs when we were in our pass rush mode and they were running the ball toward the end with when we had the big lead. So we felt good about the run defense in the, you know, in their designed runs. And then the quarterback is a phenomenal athlete, and he got out on us a couple times. There was a slant that got 60 yards on us that we could have knocked down a lot easier. But so we've got a lot of work to do in a lot of areas, but I do believe the guys' fundamentals and the techniques are improving. Our effort is there. The turnovers are showing up a little bit more. That's a product of running to the football and being where you're supposed to be and communicating with the guys in your area and how they relate to you. And so we're moving in the right direction. The yards were way more than we would have liked, but the points were where we wanted them, and that's really the goal.
Do you think you'll have Bradley Fletcher for Sunday?
He's day-to-day. I sure hope so. I think he thinks he'll be there, but he's got an injury that just takes us day-to-day, and we'll watch it one day at a time.
Where do you see kind of like the safety situation now that Chung's back? I mean, Earl Wolf has played a lot lately. Nate Allen has played much better. How do you see that all working out now?
We'll probably start with rotations like we did. I think Earl is growing at a great pace. I really like some of the production he has out there. Nate has made improvements. We talk about that every week. Patrick was very steady for us before he got injured, and now he's coming back from the injury. So we'll only benefit from a rotation going on back there. And who gets what amount, we'll kind of go by feel. It's kind of what I did the other night. I didn't want to throw Patrick right back into it. But the feel of the game and how we were doing and how the safeties were playing, it's a good problem to have, if you want to call it a problem, which I don't think it is.
In what ways is Earl growing, and how much credit does he get?
Well, I think the main thing with Earl is the understanding of the defense that he's running and the NFL offenses that are coming at you. And you do get a very diverse amount of offenses that are coming at you, from what we faced last week with Pryor to the week before with Eli the Giant. I mean, it really does change each week. And I think he's learning the NFL and the offenses, and at the same time growing in his own job as a safety.
At this point, where's the
blitzer last week? Batted one pass down, forced that intentional grounding call. You been impressed that a rookie has picked that up so quickly?
Yes. I think all the safeties have. I really do. There's a couple unblocked blitzes, and those are the ones that you really want to make. When you start beating the running backs, that's when I really start getting excited, when we're sending pressures and you have a blocker assigned to you, and then you win. Those are the ones that really separate us. But the ones that are unblocked, I think he's did a nice job of. He's got a good feel for it. He's a good athlete, you know, a young kid that's running around and fearless. So those are all benefits for Earl.
At this point, where's Rock Carmichael in this game? Is he a guy?
Rock's been impressive. You know, Rock came out there and competed well and made a couple plays for us. And I've got all the confidence in the world in Rock and him out of corner, and he's a competitor. He's a bright young man that's picked up the defense well for not being here through the offseason. So we're excited about Rock and feel very comfortable with him out there.
So if Fletcher's down, how do you handle the outside spot?
Well, right now we're going to take some looks at different combinations that we have with Fletcher, without Fletcher, how much nickel are we going to play, what's coming at us. All those things factor into how we make that decision. And toward the end of the week, we'll kind of narrow down to what we're going to do.
Bill, you re-signed Curtis Marsh today. How long does it take to get him up to speed?
Not long, and that's one of the benefits of having a guy that you signed that you know can run and compete. And, you know, he almost made the team, so he's very close and one of the last cuts. And we have a lot of confidence in Curtis, and he knows the system. And that's a big benefit to someone who might have been out there on the street that doesn't know the system. You know, he may very well have to go out there and play a lot of snaps for us against Green Bay, and we have to have somebody that kind of understands how we communicate and how this defense is structured.
You're 9 games into the season. We've talked a lot about moving the front seven, specifically the front line to the two gap. Mm-hmm. It's probably been your strongest part of your defense up front. How are they doing with that progress? Is it hard to juggle staying with what you're doing well now, or kind of get moving towards that two gap scheme?
Well, I think one of the strengths of our defense right now is the run game and the run defense, and it starts with those two-gap techniques that the D-linemen are getting better and better at. You know, I just made a big point of how Vinnie Curry's his technique in the two-gap and the techniques that Jerry Azzanero has been teaching these guys since day one is that they're all improving at a real nice clip, and I think that's one of the things we feel confident about, competing and stopping some run games to get them to third down and more winnable for us. So I think the techniques that we've taught from day one are really starting to show themselves, and that's part of the product of playing the run game better than we did early in the season.
What'd you see from Trent Cola against Oakland? He had the one sack.
Trent had one sack, but a lot of pressures. Trent really had a nice game, and we kept flushing we kept flushing that quarterback out, and he kept running around making plays. But the first part of that is get him off his spot so he can't throw downfield on you. And then from there, it's just everybody run as fast as you can, try to cut him off and tackle him, and everybody else stay plastered in your coverage and get attached to a man so he can't do the kind of like the backyard football that you see when these guys, you know, break the pocket and scramble. But the first part of that is the pressure that we put on him, and Trent was a big part of that pressure.
Similar thing that you have to do with Seneca Wallace in many ways.
Absolutely. And I think some of the ways with Aaron, you know, being around Seneca, I know he is a great move quarterback. The boots, the sprints, you know, he's a very athletic guy, and he's, you know, 9 years now. So he really knows how to run that offense, and we've got to make sure that no quarterback sits comfortably in a pocket. That's obviously the first goal of a defense. But knowing that Seneca can get out of that pocket and has great escapability, the back half of the coverage has to cover longer, and that's what we talked about a week ago with we're playing Oakland. The count in your head as a coverage player goes a lot longer when you play the mobile quarterback that can get out and you get on an edge. Now instead of covering for 3 seconds, you're covering for 5, 6, possibly 7. So there is a big difference in a mobile quarterback for us. Okay, thanks guys.